This is Bloomberg, the first word for this Thursday, April 9th, 2015. Coming up this hour.
Stocks in Europe climb toward a record while shares in Hong Kong touch a 2007 high.
Greece makes a payment to the IMF. We'll have the latest from Athens.
The dollar rises as investors set aside concern that interest rate increases may be delayed by divisions at the Fed.
A jury of 12 people will now decide whether Boston Marathon bomber Joar Zinayev lives or dies. I'm Michael Barr. That story and more straight ahead.
And I'm Scott Seidenberg in sports. The Yankees rally for a win. The Mets lose. So do the Red Sox. Plus, the race for the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference of the NBA heats up.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg, the first word. On Bloomberg 1130 in New York. Bloomberg 1200 in Boston. Bloomberg 960 in the San Francisco Bay Area. And across the country on SiriusXM Channel 119.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg, the first word is brought to you by Pega. Transform customer expectations and your enterprise with Pega. Welcome to CRM Evolved. More at PegaCan.com.
And at 6:01 on Wall Street, we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures are lower. S&P E-mini futures down 5.5 points. Dow E-mini futures down 39. NASDAQ E-mini futures down 12. DAX in Germany higher up 0.4%. CAC in Paris up 0.8%. FT100 up 0.6%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained almost 0.8%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong jumped 2.7%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32. The yield 1.88%. Yield on the 2-year 0.52%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.5% or $1.28 to $51.70 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $6.10 to $11.97.10 an ounce. The euro $1.0740 and the yen 120.07.
Another day, another deadline, and another payment for Greece as it tries to stay clear of a default. We get the latest from Marcus Bensassen in our Athens bureau.
Bob and Karen, today Greece made a payment to the IMF. This was kind of a formality at this point because of all the creditors that a country might default to, it's become pretty well established now that the IMF is pretty much last on the list. You do not want to default to the IMF. So even though Greece is scraping money around where they can to try and, you know, meet obligations, they have met about 450 million euros to repay the IMF that was coming due. But its cash situation remains extremely tight. It has to pay about $1.5 billion in wages and pensions at the end of each month. Without more money, it's getting harder and harder with each passing month to see how those payments will be met, and the clock is counting down.
Marcus Bensassen in our Athens bureau. Meanwhile, Thomas Piketty, the French economist whose 2013 book on wealth inequality became an international bestseller, is weighing in on the Greek situation.
Certainly the attitudes of a number of people in Brussels and Berlin, you know, looks like pushing Greece out. Because, you know, everybody knows that Greece is not going to repay 4% of GDP in primary surplus for the next 20 years.
French economist Thomas Piketty speaking earlier on Bloomberg Television.
The Bank of England makes an interest rate decision later this morning. While no change is forecast, it could be historic. We get the latest from Bloomberg's Jennifer Ryan in our London bureau.
So, Bob and Karen, what we're looking at is the Bank of England leaving the key rate unchanged for a 73rd month. It's at a record low, 0.5%. So what this means is Prime Minister David Cameron is going to wrap up his fifth year in office and end his full term with no change in the key interest rate. Now, that's the first time that's happened since the end of World War II. While Cameron is trying to repair the British economy from the financial crisis and still looking at shoring up the stability of the banks, get growth moving, what was going on at the end of World War II obviously was the repair of the entire nation of Great Britain from the ravages of the fighting, as well as Europe.
From our bureau in London, Bloomberg's Jennifer Ryan.
The dollar is rising against its major peers as investors set aside concern that interest rate increases may be delayed by divisions at the Federal Reserve. Policymakers last month were split over whether they would raise interest rates in June, a debate that occurred before recent disappointing payroll figures. Others said energy price declines and a stronger dollar would continue to curb inflation, arguing for a rate increase later in the year. A couple said the economy probably wouldn't be ready for tighter policy until 2016. Senior economist Christian Schultz is still looking for a liftoff this year.
U.S. has now had a very long, stable recovery, moderate but stable. Unemployment is now almost back to pre-crisis levels. Wage growth is stable at low levels, but I think there will be some stronger wage growth at some stage as unemployment comes down. So ultimately, you will have to normalize rates. And now it's a question of, are there any more economic surprises that could stop them from hiking in, say, June, July or September?
Berenberg senior economist Christian Schulz in London. Economists say initial jobless claims probably remain below 300,000 for the fifth week in a row. They're forecasting 283,000 new claims, which would be above the prior week's tally. The Labor Department will issue the data at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, and Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has the story from the First Word desk.
Initial jobless claims below 300,000 are consistent with a buoyant labor market. That contrasts with the latest data on hiring. In March, the economy added jobs at the slowest pace since December 2013. Other data suggests progress will continue. Economists point to job openings, the highest so far this century, and withholding taxes. At the Bloomberg First Word Desk, I'm Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Radio.
J.P. Morgan Chase head Jamie Dimon said last year's volatility in U.S. Treasuries is a warning shot to investors and that the next financial crisis could be exacerbated by a shortage of the securities. In a letter to shareholders, Dimon said the October 15th gyration, when Treasury yields fluctuated by almost 0.4 percentage points, was an unprecedented move that would have serious consequences in a stressed environment. Dimon cited the incident as he waded into a debate about whether bank regulations exacerbate price declines by limiting the ability of banks to make markets.
Lloyd Blankfein didn't change course as revenue from trading debt, commodities, and currencies at Goldman Sachs fell more than 50% over the past 5 years. Now it's time for that patience to start paying off. Goldman is forecast to report a 7% increase in first quarter fixed income revenue as volatility in interest rates and currency markets prompted more trading, according to the average estimate of analysts compiled by Bloomberg. Three U.S. competitors are seen posting declines that would give Goldman its largest share of fixed income revenue in 4 years. This is Bloomberg, the First Word. And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's check in with Michael Barr now for the latest on what's going on at home and around the world. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. A jury will now decide whether Joar Zinayev spends life behind bars or will receive the death penalty. Zinayev has been convicted of the 2013 bombing of the Boston Marathon. A federal jury found Zinayev guilty on all 30 counts. Bloomberg's Janelle Lawrence has more from the courthouse in Boston.
While Zinayev was standing there, he was looking straight ahead. It was as if he was looking for something to do, just sort of standing there. At times, he helped his attorney, Judy Clark, turn the pages of the verdict slip, which was 30-plus pages long. He helped her follow along. At a few points, he seemed to cross his arms in front of him.
Karen Broussard, her husband, and daughter were all injured in the bombing. Karen Broussard gave a reaction to the verdicts.
I don't know what justice is. I'm grateful to have him off the street.
Three people were killed and more than 260 others were wounded. Jurors will resume deliberations today in the murder trial of former New England Patriots player Aaron Hernandez. So far, jurors have spent 9 hours deliberating the case over 2 days. Hernandez is charged in the 2013 shooting death of Odin Lloyd. In South Carolina, the mayor of the town where an officer is charged with murder for shooting an unarmed man has ordered body cameras for every police officer in North Charleston. North Charleston Mayor Keith Summey spoke yesterday.
I made an executive decision and have notified my council. We have already ordered this morning an additional 150 body cameras so that every officer that's on the street in uniform will have a body camera.
Meanwhile, the officer who was jailed in the incident has been fired. It is going to be a rocky weather day in the Midwest. Forecasters are warning of large hail, damaging winds, and possible tornadoes today. The Storm Prediction Center says several tornadoes were reported yesterday, but mostly in rural areas of Kansas and Oklahoma, where the storms caused minimal damage. President Obama will visit Jamaica today. One of the president's first stops will be the Bob Marley Museum. Get more on these and other breaking stories 24 hours a day at thenewbloomberg.com. I'm Michael Barr. Bob?
Michael, thanks very much. That brings us to 6:09 on Wall Street now with your Bloomberg NBC, your BMW of Manhattan, Bloomberg NBC Sports Report. Good morning to you, Scott Seidenberg.
Good morning, Bob. Well, it wasn't pretty, but hey, It was a win. Battling the cold weather, cold rainy weather, Yankees rallied for three runs in the eighth inning, beat the Blue Jays 4-3. Chase Headley got the tie-breaking single, which deflected off the wrist of reliever Brett Cecil. And after the game, he talked about the go-ahead RBI.
Swung on, hit on the ground, off the mitt of Cecil. It'll be a base hit in the infield. One run scores. Now the Yankees got another break. How many breaks can they get? That was a potential double play ground ball. It went off the glove of Cecil.
Well, that's how it sounded on WFAN, the Yankees radio network. Here's Chase Headley.
He threw me a bunch of changeups, so I had to respect that. And he came inside with a cutter. And, you know, I fought it off. And it was fortunate that it hit off him and kicked in the outfield. So we'll take it.
Andrew Miller worked the perfect ninth for his first Yankees save, the Headley audio courtesy of the YES Network. As for the Mets, a pair of Zimmermans just too much to handle. Ryan Zimmerman, a two-run home run in the first inning. Jordan Zimmerman shut the Mets down through six innings. Nationals beat the Mets 2-1. NBA, the race for the Eastern Conference playoffs, well, it's coming down to the wire. The Nets fell to the Hawks 114-111 last night. It could be a first-round playoff series preview. The loss combined with the Celtics' win over the Pistons means both Boston and the Nets are tied for the seventh seed, but technically, because of tiebreakers, the Nets are the eighth seed. Four games remaining in the regular season. The Knicks were beaten by the Pacers 102-86. Indy just one game back. NFL news, former Patriot running back Stephen Ridley signs a one-year deal with the Jets. The Masters begins today at Augusta. And don't forget, you can listen to live Masters coverage on Bloomberg Radio beginning this afternoon at 4:15 Wall Street time. I'm Scott Seidenberg with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Bob?
Scott, thanks very much. Bart Longson said his weekday job is to help business owners achieve their dreams. Now he's fulfilled one of his own in becoming an NFL head linesman. Longson, principal owner of business financing provider Snap Advances, has been promoted to full-time status as an NFL official. He plans to continue running his business as well as professional football fields as of August. You're listening to Bloomberg, The First Word on Bloomberg Radio. The Sports Report was brought to you by the new BMW of Manhattan, where the future of BMW is on display now. Experience it at 57th and 11th and BMWNYC.com.
Business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Today we're watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims. It's at an 8:30 Wall Street time. At 9:45, it's the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index. At 10, wholesale inventories. We're also looking for earnings from Walgreens Boots Alliance and Constellation Brands. Costco reporting March same-store sales that were down 2%. Analysts were looking for an increase. European stocks are rising toward a record as better-than-estimated German industrial output added to confidence in the economic recovery. The dollar is strengthening, gold falling after a Federal Reserve minute showed policymakers were split on the timing for raising interest rates. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P E-mini futures down 6 points. Dow E-mini futures down 42. NASDAQ E-mini futures down 13. The DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32. The yield 1.88%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.5% or $1.26. And COMEX gold down 0.4%. Or $5.30. Alcoa down about 2.5% this morning after the biggest U.S. producer of aluminum flipped its outlook for the metal to an oversupply from an earlier forecast of a small deficit. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a jury will now decide whether Boston Marathon bomber Joe Arzenayev will receive the death penalty or life in prison. Arzenayev was found guilty on all counts in the bombing trial yesterday. The South Carolina officer who faces murder charges in the shooting death of a man has been fired from the force. Meanwhile, the mayor of North Charleston has ordered body cameras for every uniformed police officer. In sports, in baseball, the Yankees win, the Mets and Red Sox lose. In the NBA, the Celtics win, the Knicks and Nets lose. In the NHL, the Bruins lost. More on these and other stories at the bottom of the hour.
Bloomberg Brief. News, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts.
6:20 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
Bloomberg Brief. News, market data, and expert commentary.
And Taylor Riggs from Bloomberg Brief joining us this morning. And this morning we take a look at, yes, the California drought and its impact on municipal finance there. California Governor Jerry Brown, Taylor, signs an executive order. It mandates a 25% reduction of water use by cities and towns. There's concern agriculture hasn't faced the same types of restrictions. What's the economic impact of this to the agricultural economy in California?
There has been a big misconception that ag hasn't faced the same restrictions. But instead of voluntarily asking people to cut water, farms have just been delivered less water. So I spoke with Ara Azardian from the San Luis and Delta Mendota Water Authority. He told me that back in 2011, the U.S. delivered to its contractors in the San Joaquin Valley 80% of their supply. That was down to 20%. In 2014, and right now there are 2 million acres that have 0% of their water supply. And that does have an economic impact from the agricultural sense. There's 15% of the nation's ag exports come from California. The state employs 27% of the nation's farm workers. And don't forget that half of our domestically produced fruits, nuts, and vegetables also come from California.
Okay, from the municipal bond perspective right now, water bonds, they're backed by revenue from usage and also rate increases. How the water bonds responded?
So revenue from water bonds declines if usage falls. So authorities have the ability to raise rates to help offset the decline in revenue if water usage continues to fall. But still, water bonds have outperformed the general market in four of the past 5 years. We took a look at the Bank of America Water Index. That returned 1.2% year-to-date versus 1.1% for the general market. So not a huge outperformance, but still an outperformance nonetheless. I think the general consensus in the market is you always need water, and it's been one of the safest sectors in the municipal market.
You know, I can go, just as an aside here, I can go to the Bloomberg and bring up, you know, CRB or any type of function and get, prices on crude oil, prices on this, that commodity. But not water. And it seems like the pricing of water is just kind of all over the map.
Well, and that's been another issue, of course, I think that we've been talking about is the way that water is priced. At least from the municipal bond perspective, you can't look at individual water. Every different authority in every different city and county is rated based on their rate setting abilities and different debt structures. So it's a little difficult to do that.
Now, the bondholders, they're still pretty much coming out ahead. How does this impact the utilities?
So Fitch came out with a report yesterday that say some ratings will be pressured. So the credit quality, of course, is impacted based on the rate-setting decision. So you can offset the decline in revenue with rate adjustments, but each authority has different abilities to do that. So, for example, an authority out in Santa Cruz has aggressive drought rate structures where they can raise prices to help stabilize revenue. But there's other authorities, let's say the Eastern Municipal District down in Riverside, that has more fixed meter charges. It might be more difficult for them to make changes quickly in response to the decline in water usage.
Now, in terms of capital improvements, what's going on that end?
You would think that issuers would be selling more debt to help fund the capital improvements or make water efficiency better. And they really haven't. There's been about 6.5% to 7.5% of the total market has been water debt, and that has not changed since 2009. Total water and sewer debt issuance has been about $25 to $35 billion a year. About a year ago, I spoke with Phil Fisher over at Bank of America, and he said that water issuance should increase, and we have not seen that come to fruition.
All right, the California drought. This is a group from the 1960s.
I know.
The Mamas and the Papas.
This is great.
That was like 50 years before you were born. Anyway, Taylor Riggs from Bloomberg Brief. You can read Taylor's analysis, other news, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economist and analyst in the Bloomberg Brief digital newsletters. And sign up now at BloombergBriefs.com. Terminal customers can use the function brief go. And ahead of the market open on Wall Street, we have the S&P's futures right now 5 points lower. The minis down 0.2%. The Dow futures down 38 points. And the NASDAQ futures right now, the NASDAQ minis 12 points lower. That's down 0.3%. Also in overseas trading, the German DAX is up 0.4%. You're listening to Bloomberg, the first word.
The Bloomberg Small Business Report is brought to you by Citrix GoToMeeting, the proven solution for meeting and collaborating online. Meet face-to-face with your team from any computer or mobile device. Try it today. Visit GoToMeeting.com for your free 30-day trial.
Broadcasting live to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and to the financial capital of the world, Bloomberg 1130. This is Bloomberg the First Word.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. European stocks are rising toward a record, while Hong Kong shares surged to a seven-year high.
Greece has made a payment to the International Monetary Fund this morning, reducing its cash reserves still further.
Bank of England officials are set to keep the benchmark interest rate at a record low this morning for the 73rd month. It puts David Cameron on course to become the first British Prime Minister since 1950 to serve a full term in office with no change in borrowing costs.
Here in the U.S., the Commerce Department issues data on wholesale inventories. Economists are forecasting inventories rose by 0.2% in February, the same as January. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has a story from the First Word desk.
Wholesale inventories account for about a third of all business stockpiles. Inventory data can affect the government's estimates of gross domestic product. Wholesale inventories have been on the rise since June 2013. Last year's monthly average, plus 0.5%. The government reports on total business inventories next week. At the Bloomberg First Word Desk, I'm Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Radio.
Alcoa shares are down more than 2%. The largest U.S. aluminum producer forecast a global oversupply of the metal for 2015 and the slowest rate of growth in global consumption in 3 years amid rising Chinese output.
Zynga shares are down about 8% right now. The struggling maker of video games for mobile phones and tablets said chief executive Don Matrick will leave the company and that founder and chairman Mark Pincus will return to the role of CEO.
And the Volatility Index report is brought to you by CBOE. Ever wonder why SPX Weekly's options trading has grown 270% over the past 2 years? Stop wondering. Start trading SPX Weekly's options. Learn more at cboe.com/trade SPX. The VIX fell for a second straight session. The index lost 5.4% to just under 14. So far this year, the VIX is down more than 27%. And that's this morning's Volatility Report.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P E-mini futures are down 5 points. Dow E-mini futures down 35. NASDAQ E-mini futures down 11.5. DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. The 10-year Treasury up 5/32. The yield 1.88%. Yield on the 2-year 0.52%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.6% or $1.34 to $51.74 a barrel. And COMEX gold down 0.4% or $5.20 to $11.97.90 an ounce. The euro at $1.0742, the yen 120.05. This is Bloomberg.
And we're up to 6:33 on Wall Street. Karen, this news update brought to you by Eisner Amper. Does your accountant do more than crunch numbers? Eisner Amper understands the more their clients know, the better the outcome. That's why they've created a 2015 personal tax guide. Free download at eisneramper.com/strategies. The verdict is guilty in Boston. Let's bring in Michael Barr with the very latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. A federal jury will now decide whether Joe Arzaniyev lives or dies. The same jury yesterday convicted the Boston Marathon bomber on all charges. Bloomberg's Janelle Lawrence has more from the courthouse in Boston.
The courtroom was surprisingly pretty quiet during all of this. There was really no visible reaction because people pretty much knew this was coming. This is what was going to happen.
Karen Broussard, who was wounded in the attack, says she didn't expect Zernayev to show any remorse when the verdicts were read.
Personally, I wouldn't have bought it.
I would have been more frustrated if he had shown it, because throughout this whole thing, he's been, to use my word, arrogant, walking in and out of the courtroom and completely disinterested.
Jury deliberations will resume today in the murder trial of former New England Patriots player Aaron Hernandez. Italy's news agency is reporting that a man has opened fire in Milan's courthouse. ANSA reports at least two people were hit. The shooter is believed to be at large. A waterline break in Greenwich Village in Manhattan last night flooded streets and disrupted subway service in parts of the city. Commuters describe the water pouring into stations.
Dropping down like a waterfall, straight down, and the people were coming out from the train, and the water was splashing all over them.
Millionaire real estate investor heir Robert Durston faces arraignment today after his indictment on two weapons charges in Louisiana. The indictment could further delay his extradition to California, where he's charged in the 2000 murder of a woman. A new poll brings more bad news for New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. A Rutgers Eagleton poll out today shows 54% of registered voters disapprove of the job Christie is doing. At least 73% of teens in the U.S. have access to a smartphone. However, according to Amanda Lenhart with the Pew Research Center, there's an interesting stat.
About 85% of African-American teens say they have access to a smartphone, compared with about 71% of whites and Hispanics.
Get more on these and other breaking stories 24 hours a day at the new Bloomberg.com. I'm Michael Barr. Bob?
Michael, thanks very much. It is now 6:35 on Wall Street. Now with your BMW of Manhattan, Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, Scott Seidenberg.
Good morning, Bob. The Yankees taking on the Blue Jays, a cold and rainy night at Yankee Stadium. And, well, the Yanks rallied for three runs in the eighth inning unconventionally. A couple of hit batters and a single that went off pitcher Brett Cecil. And the Yankees get the win 4-3. After the game, Joe Girardi says, hey, we'll take the W.
Just take advantage of the miscues, the hit by pitch, some of the things that happened, but we got it done, and that's the bottom line.
As for the Mets, a pair of Zimmermans just too much to handle. Ryan Zimmerman hit a two-run homer in the first, also made a few key defensive plays, while pitcher Jordan Zimmermann shut the Mets down through six innings. Nationals beat them 2-1. Terry Collins says in this game, runs just tough to come by.
They're pitching so good, and I think our pitching so good that, you know, there's not going to be a lot of runs scored. You know, you make mistake like they did the other day, one team capitalized, and today, you know, we make one bad pitch and they capitalize on it. You know, it's going to be a fun summer. Two good teams.
And in the NBA, the race for the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference coming down to the wire. The Nets fell to the Hawks 114-111 last night in what could be a first-round playoff series preview. And it was Joe Johnson who says that the Nets showed they can play with Atlanta.
We're still a confident group. Obviously, yeah, they have, you know, handled us pretty much, you know, three straight games. You know, it's basically been no contest, but tonight we gave them a bit of a run.
Well, you combine that loss with the Celtics win over the Pistons. That means Brooklyn and Boston are both tied for the seventh seed. But technically, the Nets are fall to the eighth seed now. Four games remain in the regular season. The Knicks were beaten by the Pacers 102-86. Indy just one game back of both Brooklyn and Boston. In the NFL, former Patriots running back Stephen Ridley signs a one-year deal with the Jets. Golf, the Masters begins today at Augusta. Tiger Woods will tee off at 1:48 Eastern time this afternoon. Rory McIlroy tees off 10:41 this morning. And don't forget, you can listen to live Masters coverage on Bloomberg Radio beginning this afternoon at 4:15 Wall Street time. I'm Scott Seidenberg with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Bob?
Scott, appreciate it. The Bloomberg View is brought to you by Benzel Busch Motor Car in Englewood, New Jersey, offering a commitment to service, luxury, and value with total transparency. From one of the country's largest Mercedes-Benz retailers, define the way you drive at BenzelBusch.com. It's now 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. Royal Dutch Shell has placed a big bet on the future of liquefied natural gas. It's not obvious that Shell's bid to purchase BG Group will pay off, but for the sake of the climate and world energy security, let's hope it does. Natural gas is a relatively clean-burning fuel, and to the extent it can be used instead of coal to generate electricity, carbon emissions can be minimized. The trick is to liquefy large quantities of gas for shipping from the places where it is plentiful, North America, for example, to places that need it, including Europe and China. If oil majors like Shell can develop the LNG industry, it becomes more realistic to envision a worldwide market that sets a global price for gas, one less open to political manipulation by suppliers such as Russia. What's been missing from this picture is commercial viability. but consolidation of the kind Shell and BG are planning is a step toward improving the business prospects. If it's successful, then China can more easily replace its coal-fired plants, and Europe can cut its dependence on Russian pipelines. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Now let's turn it over to John Tucker for your Bloomberg Small Business Report.
Well, Bob, 59% of respondents to the annual Small Business Taxation Survey say administrative issues are the greatest burden of taxes. Leading the way in the headache department, the payroll tax. Molly Brogan Days with the National Small Business Association, which polled its 65,000 members for the survey.
You know, payroll taxes is ranked the number one most burdensome financially and administratively. I think it's challenging, it's confusing, the laws are constantly changing. So with payroll taxes, I think that's, and also the financial burden is pretty significant. So I think that's a major issue for small businesses.
And Molly Brogan Day also says one in three small firms report spending more than $500 per month on payroll services. In addition, a majority of small companies listed themselves as pass-throughs, meaning reform of corporate taxes would have little impact on them. And that, Bob, is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report.
John, thanks. Bob Schieffer, the face of Face the Nation and CBS's chief correspondent in Washington, will retire after 46 years at the network. The 78-year-old newsman announced his retirement during a symposium at Texas Christian University, his alma mater. This is Bloomberg, the first word. The first word brought to you by Amicus Creative. Are you struggling to build a great web presence? Amicus Creative has helped over 1,000 legal, financial, and healthcare professionals build websites that impress and engage. Visit propelyourpractice.com.
Business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Today we're watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 9:45, it's a Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index. At 10, wholesale inventories. We're also looking for earnings from Walgreens Boots Alliance and Constellation Brands. European stocks are rising toward a record as better-than-estimated German industrial output added to confidence in the economic recovery. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%, CAC in Paris up 0.9%, FT100 up 0.8%. S&P E-mini futures are down 4 points, Dow E-mini futures down 26, NASDAQ E-mini futures down 9, and the 10-year Treasury up 6/32, the yield 1.88%, NYMEX crude oil up 2.6%, or $1.29. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you. A jury will now decide whether Boston Marathon bomber Gilad Zinoviev will receive the death penalty or life in prison. Zinoviev was found guilty on all counts. A South Carolina officer who faces murder charges in the shooting death of a man has been fired from the force. Meanwhile, the mayor of North Charleston has ordered body cameras for every uniformed officer. In sports and baseball, the Yankees win, the Mets and Red Sox lose. In basketball, the Celtics win, the Knicks and Nets lose. In the NHL, the Bruins lost. More on these and other stories within the hour. Bob, Karen?
Thanks very much, Michael. And now it's time for the Bloomberg Green Business Report. Imagine a place about the size of Connecticut with a population of elephants amounting to more than 45,000. And growing roughly 5% a year. It's a problem for Zimbabwe's Wenge National Park, where officials say there are three times the number of elephants the vast preserve can sustainably hold. Now, lawmakers in Zimbabwe are recommending the country should identify vibrant markets to export a large number of elephants to avoid having to resort to reducing the herds through hunting or contraception. Each of the animals can eat as much as 300 pounds of food a day. A new report says the herds are destroying vegetation and damaging the crops and livelihoods of neighboring communities. Animal rights organizations oppose the idea of selling the elephants, citing the stress the animals will endure when caught and separated from family units, as well as their well-being in their new homes. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report.
And Bloomberg, the first word, brought to you by Mark Spaneth, LLP, ranked among the top three forensic accounting firms in New York by the New York Law Journal for the fifth year in a row. Visit markspaneth.com. And it's 6:49 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg View.
The campaign by Republicans to hold a constitutional convention to pass a balanced budget amendment, joined by Democrats who want a constitutional convention to overturn Supreme Court rulings on campaign finance, is totally irresponsible. Why? Because no one knows anything about this never-used method of amending the Constitution. A partisan Congress could rig a convention to ensure a huge advantage. Even with the best intentions, unfair procedures are likely. After all, no precedent exists. Yes, amendments would have to be ratified, but this requirement may not be a sure way to prevent trouble. All but one amendments to date have been ratified by state legislatures. Article 5 provides an alternative, state ratification conventions, just as undefined as a national amendment writing convention and just as easily potentially manipulated. So demands for a balanced budget or for limits on money in politics could lead to the demise of the entire constitutional system, to injecting interest group giveaways into the nation's founding document, or to chaos. Come on, constitution-loving patriots, speak out against this nonsense before it's too late. I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg View. For more Bloomberg opinion and commentary, please go to BloombergView.com.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg commentaries can be heard hourly, weekday mornings.
And now time for Bloomberg Best, an in-depth look at one of the best news stories chosen by editors from our more than 150 news bureaus around the world. Dunkin' Donuts, based in Canton, Massachusetts, is using more cage-free eggs. The company announced that by the end of the year, next year, 10% of all eggs in its breakfast sandwiches will be cage-free, and it's looking at the feasibility of eventually being 100% cage-free. Bloomberg's Ben Parker has more on the story.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in.
There are big concerns from animal welfare groups and others about how the animals are treated while they're being raised to become part of the food supply. Caged chickens, laying eggs, and crated animals. One company, Dunkin' Donuts, is already sourcing 5% of their eggs from cage-free sources for their breakfast sandwiches, and they're among many taking a more responsible approach to animal treatment in the food supply line. Christine Riley Miller is Senior Director of Corporate Social Responsibility at Dunkin' Brands and says their goal is to double their use of cage-free eggs in less than 2 years.
By December 2016, 10% of all eggs sourced for our breakfast sandwiches in the U.S. will be cage-free.
Dunkin's has partnered with the Humane Society of the United States to update its animal welfare policy and meet its goal of using more cage-free eggs as well as gestation crate-free pork by 2022. Josh Balk is director of food policy at the Society and says this is a big step for the welfare of animals in the supply chain.
Most egg-laying chickens are confined in small cages. They can't spread their wings. They're unable to engage in their vital natural behaviors. And switching to cage-free eggs dramatically improves their lives. And same thing with moving away from gestation crates. These are cages so small, mother pigs can't even turn around for virtually the duration of their lives. And moving to group housing, and that's where pigs are able to walk around and engage in more natural behaviors, is a great step in the right direction.
Back at Dunkin' Brands, Christine Riley Miller says there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes to get to their goal of 10% cage-free eggs and eventually 100% cage-free.
It's a cross-functional approach that we work with our suppliers to look at what the available supply is, what the timeline is for that supply. And we make that decision based on, you know, both cost and availability.
Dunkin' Brands' role in corporate responsibility and animal welfare is something they've been working on for a while, but Miller says there has been plenty of feedback, too.
We've heard this from our guests. We've heard this from our franchisees. We've heard it from our shareholders. And, you know, we're seeing that this is something that consumers in general are really interested in understanding where their food comes from and how that's sourced.
At the Humane Society of the United States, Josh Balk applauds Dunkin's efforts. And he sees more companies going in this direction because it's the right thing to do.
What's tremendous about working on animal welfare issues, that's non-competitive. Just like food safety, we all want safe food. We also all want animals not to be treated cruelly. And that's why the entirety of the food system is moving in a more positive direction than before, and we're thrilled to work with them on it.
From a corporate level, Dunkin's hopes customers will respond to what they are doing. And I asked Miller if they think it will bring more customers in the long run.
We would hope that would be the case, but I think at the end of the day, we're committed to ensuring the welfare of animals in our supply chain, and we believe our guests and our franchisees are committed to that as well.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above.
I'm Ben Parker, Bloomberg Radio.
Let me ride through the wide open country that I
love. Roy Rogers. You can listen to more stories like these on Bloomberg Best, Monday through Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Wall Street time. And now let's check the Bloomberg for some stories grabbing readers' attention this morning. John Tucker, what have you got?
Well, chew on this. Will Papa has one of the hardest jobs in the food industry, getting Americans to chew more gum. So challenged is this category, U.S. sales have actually fallen 15% to $3.5 billion since 2009, that Hershey's research chief isn't even calling his latest product gum. Icebreaker's cool blast chews, which dissolve in a burst of mint after 10 chomps, straddle that sweet spot between mints and gum. It's a classic example of innovating at the seams between two categories.
Well, J.P. Morgan Chase head Jamie Dimon said last year's volatility in U.S. Treasuries is a warning shot to investors and that the next financial crisis could be exacerbated by a shortage of the securities. The October 15th gyration, when Treasury yields fluctuated by almost 0.4 percentage point, was an unprecedented move that would have serious consequences in a stressed environment, according to Dimon, the New York-based bank's chairman and chief executive officer, in a letter to shareholders.
And
we've also got one more story. The Wizarding World of Harry Potter at the Universal Orlando Resort seems a world away from the nearby Florida neighborhood nicknamed Crime Hills. But magic is spreading where foreclosed homes once lingered, empty and dilapidated. The Orlando area of Pine Hills is seeing newfound demand for real estate, and foreclosures are making up the highest share of Orlando home sales since 2011 as they leave a clogged court system. The magic spark is jobs created by theme park expansions, a new 11-square-mile medical and residential community, and record numbers of tourists. Bloomberg Terminal customers can find these stories and more 24 hours a day on Top Go. Karen.
Thanks, Bob. Now let's check the web and papers around the world for other stories. Making news this morning from the L.A. Times, trend lightly Americans. Nearly 9% of people in the United States have outbursts of anger, break or smash things, or get into physical fights, and have access to a firearm, a new study says. What's more, 1.5% of people who have these anger issues carry their guns outside the home. From the Washington Post, it's long been known that eating disorders such as anorexia and bulimia are associated with other challenging health issues. But now a new study has associated the conditions with long-term negative economic consequences, including lower earnings. And another quick one from the Associated Press. A year after Americans recoiled at new revelations that sick veterans were getting sicker while languishing on waiting lists, and months after the Department of Veterans Affairs instituted major reforms, government data shows that the number of patients facing long waits at VA facilities has not dropped at all. All right, futures this morning moving lower. S&P E-mini futures are down 4 points. Dow E-mini futures down 25. NASDAQ E-mini futures down 9. NYMEX crude oil is rising up 2.5% or $1.27 at $51.69 a barrel. For Bob Moon, this is Bloomberg, the first word, and Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead.